Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We continue with the show, and we spoke to Roy Matuni a short while ago about the SPAR results. The JSE listed supermarket group posting a 3% increase in headline earnings per share from continuing operations for the full year to end 26 September. But again, it withheld a dividend as it continues to repair its balance sheet. Huge debt still sitting on that balance sheet, although they did manage to reduce that by about 40%. The group's performance was supported, though, by a firmer second half, with turnover from continuing operations rising 1.6% to 131.5 billion rand. Gross profit increased 3.3% and margins improved to 10.8%. I spoke to Reza Isaac, SPAR Group CFO, a short while ago and asked him about these results. So, Reza, just looking at the results, I mean, you've got a 5 billion rand loss, but when you look through the numbers, it's not looking as bad. I think take us through what these numbers have meant for the group this year.
Yeah, so Mita, I must admit that the numbers are a bit noisy, but it is a function of the year that we've had. So we have disposed of operations. We have classified certain operations as discontinued, meaning that we intend to dispose of them. We've had impairments that we have taken. Obviously, it's not cash impairments. Investors hate when you say it's non-cash impairments because you spend cash when you acquired them. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the important number to look at. From a results and an income statement point of view, is our operating profits from continuing operations on a comparable basis. And I say comparable basis because we changed the basis of reporting, from a 365 days a year reporting basis. So we aligned it to the retail calendar, which is effectively 52 weeks on 52 weeks, which makes it reporting a lot easier. Essentially for us, but on a comparable basis, our earnings from continuing operations, which is basically South Africa and Ireland, our operating profit was up 2.3%, and that's an important number. And then if you take that earnings through to headline earnings per share, which is basically what we earn sort of per share, it is down 9%. And the reason it's down 9% and it doesn't correspond with the 2.3% is that our interest costs were higher because of the debt that we took on in respect of our offshore operations, and then also the tax charge relating to that debt, because the interest on that debt is not tax deductible. That tax charge was also higher. So that's where you see effectively a negative delta of 11%. What distorts the loss is obviously the impairments and the write-downs, which gets excluded from headline earnings because those are capital items. But I would say to you, look at the 2.3% improvement in operating profit, of which South Africa was 6.8% for the year, which is 7% is not a bad performance, and then the decline in headline earnings per share, which was about 9%.
Okay, so I want to break down all of that and then go through them. Let's just start. You spoke about the debt. That was a big chunk there, but you also managed to reduce a debt by 40% to 5.4 billion rand from 9.1 billion rand in 2024. So again, another mixed bag here, and as you say, a little bit noisy, but take us through how you managed to reduce that.
So there was really two things. So firstly, I shared a table showing the free cash flow for the year before the outflows in respect of the offshore operations. But there was two things. The one is we disposed of Switzerland. And in disposing of Switzerland, we effectively disposed of 3 billion rand worth of debt, mm-hmm. as well, because that came with the Swiss business. There were some monies we had to effectively pay to in respect of the exit of Switzerland, but that accounts for 3 billion of the 4 billion reduction, and then the balance of that was essentially due to better cash flow and working capital management. And I do also have to say that from a South African point of view, our gearing, which is measured, EBITDA, net debt over EBITDA, and usually you aim for around 2 times. From a group point of view, we were sitting at about 2.4 times last year. We reduced that to under 2, to about 1.74 times for the group. So I'm really very pleased with our balance sheet. Now we've managed to stabilize our funding and our financing.
It is looking good. I mean, group revenue rising 1.6% to 132.4 billion rand. I mean, these numbers are mixed across, but it's showing overall that you are showing a good performance. I want to look at the disposals. So you disposed of Switzerland and you disposed of Poland.
Yeah.
Can you? Okay. So the disposal of Switzerland and Poland. I think the big question is what happened there? What were the challenges in the international business?
I joined about a year ago, so Poland was before my time. I came in towards the tail end of the Poland disposal, but my understanding was that business was actually consuming cash and it was affecting the South African business, and we effectively had to fund those losses from the South African business, which clearly was not sustainable. And usually when companies go offshore, it's with the purpose of diversifying income streams, and then also reducing exposure to the rand and currency risk. In this case, it actually increased our risk and our exposure. So Poland was disposed of. But I was more involved in the Switzerland business and the Switzerland disposal. But what I can also tell you with regard to Switzerland is that we did not have really scale in that market. We had about 1.5% market share. It was a market that's structurally challenged. It's got very high cost of living. And it's a protectionist market in Switzerland where they protect local industry, which makes certain goods very expensive. And what also happens is that people go cross border to go and shop in Germany, France, Italy, depending on where you are in terms of those borders. And you can get goods for up to 60 to 70% cheaper elsewhere. So the lack of scale and the structural challenges really didn't work for us, and it didn't fit the investment thesis. And you look at the returns in that business was way below our cost of capital, and therefore we had to exit that market. And I think it's the right decision, because apart from the financial risk that we were exposed to, it actually consumed a lot of management time, to look after that business and then also try and turn it around.
Reza, talk me through what's happening in the UK business. I mean, that continues to be, I think, classified as held for sale. What's happening with that business? Is it going to be sold off as well? It seems to be quite a tough international market.
Yeah, I think the UK has got its own sort of particular challenges. I mean, it is very it is the cost of living. They call it the cost of living crisis in the UK. Inflation is high. I think the retailers there themselves are struggling for new avenues of growth. What we are seeing is that a lot of the big players are entering the convenience space, also looking for growth opportunities. And in convenience itself is hit by legislation. And for example, single use vapes, there was a ban that came in June, which which affected sales and you know vaping and you know cigarettes is a big part of convenience. So I think real structural challenges, you know, also in the UK. But we made the decision to exit, and we and again I think it's the right decision, and you're right, it is being held for sale. And we should complete that disposal in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months.
Lots of consolidation happening here. I mean, it's been an interesting time since a new management came through. Before I let you go, the South African market still performing well. We also have a bit of a cost of living crisis here.
Absolutely. South Africa, has always been, challenged from a macro point of view. I mean, we have GDP, GDP outlook is very weak, in the region of 1%. So in an economy that's struggling to grow, I think people struggle with poor disposable income, I mean, inflation has come down, which has been a positive, but it's still, in the mid-single digits. Interest rates are still relatively high, also coming down. But also we've got world-class retailers in South Africa, and I think the competition for that rand of spend is quite intense. So it is a very competitive environment that we are operating in, and we're all looking for those growth opportunities in a low growth environment.
Having said that, what does the next year look like? It is a very competitive market.
I think for us, it's going to be focused on our controllables. Clearly, we have to. I mean, it's been tough from a top line point of view in food retail, and we have lost some market share. So from a top line point of view, it's the focus is on regaining some of that lost ground. And then for us, it's a self-help story. I mean, we've got to get that margin from 2% to 3%. We've got a pathway to it. We've identified initiatives, and now it's a case of really just executing, not just executing, it's a lot of hard work, but it's executing against the growth initiatives, the efficiency initiatives, and the cost initiatives in our business. I'm optimistic that the base has been reset, our balance sheet has been stabilized, and now we can focus on our two key markets, which is Ireland and South Africa.
Reza, thank you so much for making time for me. I know you're rushing off to catch a plane. Fly safe, and we'll chat to you again soon. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
Your time.
Thank you very much, Sumita. And I forgot to say good afternoon to your listeners, but it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank
good
you.
Good stuff. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.